And now, beautiful people going fast on fire. Welcome to the True Fiction Podcast, Kino Club Edition.
Welcome to True Fiction's Kino Club Halloween Edition. Kino Club is a group of friends who go see movies and then talk about what we saw. This is a warts and all recording where we share the good, bad, and ugly. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the 2022 independent feature, Fang. Fang was directed by first-timer Richard Bergen and stars Dylan LeRae as Billy Cochran, Lynn Larry as his ailing mother, Gina, and Jess Paul as Myra Valenti, Gina's caregiver. After living with the stress of his mother's chronic illness and getting bitten by a rat in his house, a young autistic man starts slowly turning into a rat. But before we get started, Kino Club roll call. I'm Pat.
I'm Norbert.
I'm Marshall.
And so let's talk about what we liked about this film.
I thought the production of a first time, I don't know if you call it independent production or not, but the cinematography of this and the lighting was really nice. I was really impressed with that. I was really impressed with the mother's performance. I thought that she was fantastic. I thought the cast was really solid all the way around. And so those are my top lines.
I thought the cinematography was amazing. I liked the way the film had the slow build and felt like it slowly got more and more intense. I really enjoyed the casting. I think the production and the lighting was really neat. I liked the set locations and where they chose to shoot. I think it added a lot to the feel of the movie.
I would agree with you on the sets, which is Chicago. And it's a specific part of Chicago that reminded me of like any huge city in the less savory parts of town. Not that this was a dangerous part of town, but this just seemed like it had age. It seemed like that it felt like the parts of the city that had been lived in well and were older and were the lower economic standards of a place. The whole thing about the factory to me, where Billy worked, just really felt real to me. A lot of this movie did have a feeling like it was real. Of course, the acting with the three main people, Dylan LeRae, Lynn Lowry, and Jess Paul, to me was phenomenal. And I would say even singling out more of Dylan and Lynn together on screen, they really felt like they were family members. The one thing, and I talked a little bit about before we started about this movie, being Halloween and a huge fan of horror, I watch a lot of horror movies during this time. And I've found myself just watching movies. And when I say watching them, not being emotionally invested in these movies. And I will say from probably the first 3 minutes of Fang, I was emotionally invested. I felt the director, Richard Bergen, was able to keep a sense of tension throughout the movie for me. I felt like it was very tense. You can call this a horror movie, but it's more of a psychological thriller. Do you guys have a better name for it? I'm not saying there isn't horror elements, but it's a psychological.
It seems almost psychological horror.
Yeah, almost. Psychological horror. For me, very tense. And I thought that what Marshall mentioned, where they lived, the sets, they all felt very lived in. They felt very real. The whole thing was dire straits for the family. I thought that was very effective in the movie.
One of the things that the contrast between the factory and the places he was walking and where he was moving from one place to the other, they had different feels to them. And even from the house, when you walk in up to the, you know, that stairwell, it all evoked a certain, you knew where you was at. And the different places had little different feels, which I thought was good. It felt like that. And I think given, I'm sure he had to make his budget work, he chose his places carefully he also gave us this feel of tightness. I felt like everything felt almost suffocating in some ways. Even the factory parts of it, it wasn't huge, long shots. That it all felt very personal for me. I think that was effective uses of what he was trying to accomplish. Sometimes you watch these movies and you can just tell they just going from shot to shot. And he didn't do that. It felt carefully chosen.
We mentioned the lighting earlier, and I will say that I've thought the render of the video was very clean looking and definitely high definition. The lighting was very interesting because it would be well lit, but then there would be subtle colored lights in the back that just added to it to me, that gave it this kind of hyper real feeling. At times I felt like what we were seeing was what Billy Cochran was seeing, what he was visualizing. There's always hope, right, in these movies. And I liked the idea that the caregiver, Billy's mother's caregiver, and Billy become friends. And I enjoy that relationship, but it itself is also dangerous. I feel like something is not going to be happening good there. I just once again feel like I'm basically explaining a little bit of how the tension worked in there. Billy's mother, you really didn't know what she was going to say. That's another thing about this movie. I think if anybody else has ever been with somebody that is going through anything that affects their mental faculty, sometimes you don't know what they're going to say. Nobody ever says, okay, now I'm going to talk crazy. Nobody says that. They just do. And I remember a friend of mine and his mother had Alzheimer's, and we were talking and she said, can you boys take me into town? We were in town and I was just really confused. I knew she had Alzheimer's. I knew I'd heard some of the things she said, but it just hit me really strange. I think if anybody's ever had any kind of circumstances like that, especially with somebody that they cared about, this movie is going to hit you differently. This movie is going to be something that, for me, it reminded me of that. It brought me back to those times when I've had loved ones that have had issues. And the director did a great job of showing that. And also showing the issues that Billy had. Because Billy, I'm going to say, Billy had some issues too. His issues weren't just caused from his mother, okay, in this movie. But yeah, I liked how that tension worked. I liked how that made me think of different things in my past. And a lot of movies haven't done that for me lately. A lot of movies I don't feel as invested. This one I felt very invested in.
Yeah, I agree with that. I did a good job of having you empathize certain situations. I think watching the main characters, his position within his own mental health and how it unravels a little bit, and where he's at with things, really, I think the way they did it was a slow burn, and with the building of the story made it very easy to empathize with.
There were characters in it. There were not a lot of characters in this movie, but I would have times when I was thinking that person's horrible. And then I would think, no, then I felt, no, that's really not it. They're not horrible. It's just that it's a situation that this person's in with their mental faculty. And it got really bizarre to a certain extent. There's things that happen in this movie, or close to happens in this movie, that it's, yeah, that's creepy. Once again, I want to say, when I say that, I don't mean it in a bad way, because that is what this movie is about. And it was very effective for me.
I know that the director is a friend of the show and has been on the show a couple times. And I'm just really impressed with this being his first foray into directing and how well it came off. I know we've interviewed other directors and I've just seen other first time attempts at directing. And I have to say, I was very impressed with the overall, just a lot of things from this movie. I think there's a lot of good that happens with this, especially being somebody's first time directing, such as the storytelling, the cinematography, the way it was put together. I think there were a lot of artistic choices that I think a lot of first-time directors probably would have overlooked or not even thought hard on, but you could tell the attention to detail was very much there on this film.
I will agree with that part. I think it was very much a, for a first time outing, this is a impressive effort.
No, I agree 100%. I think too, when you see this movie, I feel like I know Richard a bit, Richard Bergen, the writer. I know that he's had some, basically, he's had some issues himself and he talks about them freely, which that's one thing that I find just amazing about him. The one thing I really like about Richard. But I think when you feel like you know somebody, then you watch something that they produce, you almost rethink what you know about them. And we had a blast, and he's this guy that is just got such a very jovial, funny guy. And then you watch Fang, you have to rethink that a little bit. That it was like, wow, where did this come from? But I think that's probably the great thing about people making art. Their art is a part of them. And it's something that actually says something about them. And it's something that you have to consider as part of them all the time. So you look at other people's art and that's just a part of that person. That's an extension of that person. And I think it's a very creative film. And there's a lot to enjoy on this film. Now, I think we've probably, is there anything else that you want to talk about, guys, about what we liked about the movie?
I think it's a great contribution to independent horror. I think it's exciting to see. I hope he continues to create, even if it's not within the medium of film, just because I think he's got a lot of potential to see what he continues to create for this being his first go at directing. And I say that having seen a lot of independent horror films, and I think as soon as you say that, you've thought of something in your mind of what is independent horror. And so I think seeing this was very refreshing to see for a first-time director to produce this as an independent horror was a good job.
Yeah, I have to give it to Richard because the people in this movie are just awesome. And Dylan Larray, who plays Billy, and Jess Paul, Myra Valente, they're both fairly new to, they've been around for a little while. Jess a little bit longer. Jess has got a few more movies that she's been in. But Dylan and Jess are fairly new. Lynn Lowry, Lynn has been in film since the 70s. And Lynn is known for two cult movies. One is Cronenberg's Shivers, which was 1975. And then there was George Romero's The Crazies in 73. So from the 70s up till now, Lynn has been doing a lot of everything. She's done TV and movies and dramas and comedies and a lot of horror too. And just when he told me that he had Lynn Lowry, I'm like, how did you get her? That is amazing for a first movie, because here's how it usually works. And I've probably said this before, but when you make a drama or a comedy, you really need to have a named actor or actress. It's just most people don't watch independent films that don't have somebody of name recognition. Except for horror. The horror fans don't care if they know people. I'll be honest with you. A lot of times I don't even want to know anybody in the horror because it's easier for them to be that character than I've seen them in 100 other movies where they played the same character. I thought, wow, you've got Lynn Lowry. This is pretty cool. And then I watched the film. She's so amazing in this film. Her and Dylan Larray are probably the best in this film. When they're together, they feel to me that they could be family. That's another thing that just blew me away by this was the script writing, the dialogue between these two people. And we've basically talked about all the things we liked about this film. And in true Kino Club fashion, we're going to talk about the things we didn't like so well. What didn't we like about this film, guys?
I like the interplay dialogue-wise between the mother and the son and a care worker. I thought the dialogue of the friends and the boss at times wasn't as strong. It just felt almost, the characters didn't feel real in a way. They didn't feel like, I understand being foul-mouthed and stuff, but there should be a little bit of variation within that. I think that would help that. And my other thing, there's two big points that are one big point that I come from the outside of the horror world. So take that for what it is. One of the things that we reviewed previously with The Mouth of Madness, we watched a super competent person go mad. And I like the contrast of this, taking somebody very strong and taking them out or having that unravel. For me, the harshness of this movie was I felt so much empathy for these characters. And that's a testament to what was done right, that I cared about them. But I would encourage, like Richard, as he goes along, to start thinking about contrast is his characters, where they go, and they start from either a high place and then take him down, and then a low place and bring him up. Because it felt like the main character was on the edge anyway. He was in a very vulnerable state. So when him coming down, it wasn't that far. I felt more empathy than I felt like you wanted this character to overcome. You wanted this character, and he couldn't. But and that was my thing. My biggest problem is I wish that either we bring this character up, or this is a strong character and we bring down. And that would be my biggest criticism of this movie.
I agree with what you're saying there. I want to go back to what you said about In the Mouth of Madness. What you said was basically an opinion of what happened in that movie, because I don't ever see him as descent into madness. Just going to say, I felt like he basically came to understand the truth, which is what was said at the very beginning of the movie when he's got all the crosses around on his face and all over his padded cell. And the psychiatrist comes in and says, I would imagine if somebody's seen this, they wouldn't let you out of here. So to me, that was his faking it. But I guess it's just, so I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm just saying that's an opinion to me.
Okay. And that's
has fair. Nothing to do with his movie, though.
Yeah. And that's fair to say, but it's still taking somebody in a strong position and knocking the legs out from under him, whether he descends or not. But that's, yeah, point taken.
That's fair.
I agree with Norbert with what he's saying, but I think it's...
What about Mouth of Madness?
No. Back to Fang.
Of course he does.
We just settled that.
But I don't see it so much as an issue with contrast as I do. I think that it's just a dark movie. It's not a feel-good movie. I didn't walk away from watching Fang going, oh, geez, the world is bright or anything. And I was thinking about that as you were talking about it. The contrast is it's the Billy Cochran character has already been dealt kind of a bad hand and things just get worse and he does unravel. And I thought about that and I'm like, is that bad storytelling? Is it bad contrast? And I don't think it is. I think that is the story itself. But personally, it's not a story that I enjoy seeing. It's not something that I seek out. But I think that it is, you know, it's interesting how, because I think about in comparison to other horror films, like I think about it, how different of a movie like Fright Night, the original 80s Fright Night is, where essentially there's a very happy ending to that and there's this uplifting feeling and you feel good for the characters as the movie resolves. This I didn't feel that way, but at the same time I don't think I wouldn't say I'm biased because Fright Night from the 80s is one of my all-time favorite films, so maybe that's a bad example, but I at the same time I wouldn't say one is a better story than the other, as much as I think they're just different concepts. But I definitely think it's not a concept that I, you know, find comfort or personally seek out. I think once in a while I get in a mood to watch a movie where I'm like, that was dark and that's what I needed. And that would be a film like Fang. But most times I gravitate more toward the resolve, a happy resolve, even in horror films. So it's an interesting analysis watching this and thinking about just how grim it is and how dark it is. And then self-examining what I look for in horror films and how I even seek out a little more lightheartedness, even in horror and darkness. So that's interesting to make me think about that through this film. So that's something that I won't say I don't like, but at the same time, it's not something I seek out. I think one of my gripes, I'm pretty sure I heard Richard talk about, is that he was not a fan of how the rat looked and how the reveal of the rat entity.
The Rat King.
And, the Rat King, yes. And I think it works on a certain degree. I don't think it's so bad that I was taken out of the film. I don't think it's bad at all. Really, I think that like when you look at the Rat King there, I don't know if that was something that was designed or if that was a whole purchased costume or how that was. I think that the Rat King image itself has a certain feel. And I don't think I disliked how it looked as much as I'm not sure that it was in tone with the film and stuff. Although the tone of the way the Rat King looked is a very particular kind of horror look. I could almost see it working better in a different style of movie. And that might even be something that I just heard Richard talk about and it stuck out in my head. And as I was watching the film, it struck a chord. So I don't know if I had never heard that, if I watched it and I wouldn't have even recognized that. But I think, I think maybe there could have been a more artistic decision to keep within the tone of the film.
Would you say that the Rat King had a hipster vibe, design vibe to
it? I would never say that.
Is that really the problem,
yeah,
Marshall?
Because I enjoyed this film. So. I think, oh, Norbert, this is a piece of art. not like another hipster Wes Anderson trash. but that's what I like about it. It's a piece of art. I think something else that I disliked maybe is that it felt very, and this is something else that maybe it's just a concept that I don't gravitate toward, but it felt like I got to a place where I was like, man, this is rough, because it just kept hammering away that he's descending into this. And I think some of it might have been pulled out a little bit to a point where it just felt like I felt like the message of him spiraling had become clear already. And maybe there were a couple things that we went beyond to where I think it could have maybe been tightened up a little bit. But I could see where people would say, too, that you needed that, or even that's part of the experience of the film, was feeling how grim this plot was. But yeah, other than that, I really enjoyed the
film. I'm with you on the Rat King. The way I felt about it, the way I came to terms with the way the Rat King looked, is because we were looking through the eyes of Billy, and this is what Billy was seeing. I don't know. I didn't hate it, but I thought there could have been a different solution for the Rat King, I think. The other thing I would have liked to have seen, there are parts when there is a knife in this, and the knife is being stabbed into people, which happens in movies like this. I didn't like, this is going to sound really petty, but I wanted to see the knife come down hard. And the knives don't come down hard. They're almost like very focused on how the knife comes down. And I don't think for the way that I felt I didn't think it was in line with what was going on inside of that character's head at the time. It's definitely an artistic choice of how to do this, but I would have done it a little bit differently. Others may think that was fine, and that's okay. That was an issue that I had. Also, I would have liked to have seen some type of foreshadowing on what happened at the end when things got more out of hand. Not the very end, of course. That was pretty much overshadowed through the whole movie, but, or foreshadowed through the whole movie. But there's a place where I think that they could have foreshadowed a little bit more in a couple of different places. One was what happened, what he decided to do. At the end, he made it. There was a decision made, and I think that could have been foreshadowed a little bit more than actually what happened after that. I think could have been foreshadowed a little bit more. None of these
would have
are
been really cool if it was foreshadowed in the arc.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking too. That's what I was exactly what I was thinking, Norbert. I thought that art would have been awesome to use that to foreshadow these things. And I think that would have been so cool. It's interesting too, when you think about the movie, for me anyway, when I think about this movie, I think you can think about this movie and you can basically sum it up in just a few words. But when you really dig into it, there's so much more to it. And I know we've already talked about what we like. I'll switch a little bit here. Who did not feel a little, not a little, but who didn't feel sorry for the mother? I think you'd have to be almost heartless to not feel some kind of empathy for the mother. It was just a really horrible situation. But that was the problems that I had at the very end, like the stabbing, and then some, I would have liked a little more foreshadowing at the end.
One of the things I was thinking about what Marshall was talking about with the unrelentingness of the movie. One, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger was talking to Jim Cameron. He was talking about, I think it was his movie The Sixth Day, and he was super proud of it. And it was bleak on bleak. And Jim Cameron was talking about you need rhythm. You need a little bit of roller coaster up and down. And I think if you had a few scenes to get you back to when at some point were things that did work. I think a little bit of contrast on that, that would have been nice. I think that would have been nice. And I think that as Marshall was talking through that, that would have been helpful, I think. So those maybe just little things. It maybe wouldn't have been had to be much, but just little things, that brightness, a little sunshine.
I think there was some. I thought there was some brightness there. I thought that it was, maybe it should have been more. There was a lot of hope with his relationship with the caregiver. I really felt like there was something there. But man, it's definitely also what she was. I don't know. She was also part of the problem because of some things she did. And it was just a rough, the whole thing was really rough. But you know what? I don't fault it for being relentless like that. I think that happens. That really happens. And I know people go, I don't want to see real life in my movies, but I don't know. I listen to blues sometimes, you know, I listen to dark metal, and it's not all about everything's all rosy and happy. Although I do listen to some of that too. And I think this is a good example of a dark psychological movie. I will say that it reminded me not of something that I've seen lately, but it reminds me of older movies. I think it was Martin, Portrait of a Serial Killer. There's these old movies and the locations are similar. They're these old 70s movies that have this very dark feel like this one. And so maybe part of me liking this, part of enjoying that part of it was me reminiscing about old movies, reminding me of old movies, how things played. There's something that really felt real about where he was when he was walking around, when he was going to the factory. That all felt very real to me. And I really appreciated that. But I don't know if everybody, because they're not places you want to walk around. It's not like, hey, I'm going to go take a walk down this street. But you're going on that road or down that alley because it's taking you. You've got to go someplace. So it's not like you want to go there, but you have to. So I don't know. That was my feeling on it. Okay, let's wrap it up and give our final thoughts about what we thought about this movie as far as do we recommend it?
I think that this movie is shows great promise for this director. And I think it's a niche movie in that if you like sort of psychological horror, this would be something to watch. It's definitely well done. It is very dark. And it clocks in at about 97 minutes or so. So I give kudos for that. It has some great performances in it.
I really enjoyed this film, was excited to watch it. And after it was finished, I was excited to have seen it. And knowing this was Richard's first foray into writing and directing, or at this level, I'm sure there's other things that he's wrote, maybe even directed, I'm not sure. I watched this and I think, man, I'd really like to see something else from him. I would be excited. So I hope he continues to create, even if it's not in the form of film. But I think he has a talent for creating within horror. I think he has a talent within creating within this type of storytelling. I would love to see him create something where, because I know in his interviews, he has a very dry sense of humor and wit. And I would love to see him create something that was maybe of a horror genre, but not so close to real life, something a little more fast-paced, and I don't want to say lighthearted, because I would love for him to create something else in horror, but something a little more fast-paced and more full of wit in a way, because I think that's something that he has a natural expression for. And I think if he were to combine what he's displayed with this film with that, it would be very interesting. But overall, I really enjoyed this film and I would recommend it. And I think it's I don't want to say important, but I think it's a force of its own in a film that I think he's accomplished a lot with this film. So just excited to see more things like it.
I was a little bit concerned. I like Richard. I think he's a great guy and definitely a friend of the show. I was afraid to watch this movie in case it sucked, just to be honest. And I have to say that I'm pleasantly surprised. And you may have watched independent horror before. This has got nothing to do with that. This movie is very different from a lot of movies that I've seen. It's definitely has, it's tension filled. It is a dark, thematically dark film, although it's not a dark shot film. I think that definitely makes me want to see more of what Richard's going to be doing in the future. Of course, I like horror a lot, and I've watched a lot of horror that's got a little bit tongue in cheek. And I really like, every now and then, I like a very serious, very psychological horror that deals with real life. This movie, for the most part, deals with real life. So I thought it was very well done. Once again, like I said, I'm very impressed with so much of this movie. The lighting, the direction, the acting, the script. I just thought it was amazing. And I think that anybody that likes horror, and especially the people that like darker horror, would love to see it. If you thought that Barbie was the best movie in the world, I wouldn't recommend this. In the notes, you're going to get information on where you can go stream this movie if you so choose. I want to thank Richard for allowing us this preview copy of this movie so that we could preview it. This review is a debuting on Halloween. So I want to say happy Halloween to everybody that is going to be listening to us. And even after Halloween, what the heck? This would be a great Halloween flick to watch. So I think that we all recommend this film as far as knowing yourself and knowing what you like. I think it could definitely be a worthwhile movie to watch. And there you have it, folks. Another True Fictions Kino Club in the books. Thank you for joining us tonight for another round of Movie Madness and for sharing your love of cinema. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform and stay tuned for next week's episode. Until then, keep your eyes and ears open for the truth in fiction. Good night and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the True Fiction Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please visit us at Facebook. You can also leave us a review on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. Until next time, stay true and stay creative. Hey, you're too late.